Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today is Thursday, November 2nd. I'm your host, Stephen Overly. The whole world is talking about AI this week.
I believe history will show that this was the moment when we had the opportunity to lay the groundwork for the future of AI.
Here's Vice President Kamala Harris speaking on Wednesday at the U.S. Embassy in London, where she's participating in the UK's much-hyped AI Safety Summit.
And the urgency of this moment must then compel us to create a collective vision of what this future must be.
And British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has a collective vision of his own. This is how he put it to my colleague Anne McElvoy on Politico's Power Play podcast, out today.
This is not going to be solved by any one country. And then my point here is, you know, we are going to need to work together. I think we've taken a lead in putting this topic on the agenda and convening people, but ultimately this is going to be something that we solve together. I'm delighted that President von der Leyen is here. The EU is a big player in this.
Behind all of this collaboration, which as of Wednesday includes 29 governments pledging to join forces on AI, there is some tension over which country is considered the global leader. The White House staked its position on Monday with the release of a sweeping AI executive order, its boldest attempt yet to shape the technology's future.
And we intend that these domestic AI policies will serve as a model for global policy, understanding that AI developed in one nation can impact the lives and livelihoods of billions of people around the world.
As for how exactly that executive order was received in the UK on the eve of its big AI summit, here's Sunak again.
The US have taken this moment when we're convening this summit for the vice president to give a really important speech on AI, for the president to release the executive order, for there to be the announcement of a US safety institute alongside the announcement of our safety institute. I think that's incredibly positive. I want everyone to be doing the same thing.
On the show today, we're going across the pond. Kind of. Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels is in London to cover the vice president's presence at the UK AI Safety Summit. He tells me how all of this tension among friends is playing out on the ground. So, Eugene, thank you for being on Politico Tech. You're joining us from London. How are things on the other side of the Atlantic?
Jolly old London. It's good. Lots of, you know, we've been kind of running around. The days have been kind of jam-packed. On Wednesday, we went to see Harris's speech at the U.S. Embassy here, and then went to 10 Downing Street. No Larry the Cat sightings, unfortunately, for everyone listening. I'm sorry. I don't have anything to report on that. But Harrison and Rishi Sunak, the UK Prime Minister, sat down, had a bilat. They covered AI. They covered kind of all the international conflicts that are going on. And then they had a lovely dinner, which we did not get to see or participate in. So, you know, things are going all right.
And it does sound like jam-packed days. You mentioned the speech that Kamala Harris gave. How was that received over there? Were people talking about it? What were their takeaways?
Yeah, as people were kind of walking out, I kind of just started stopping people, asking them, what did you think? Did she strike the right notes? More importantly, is the United States approach to AI and regulation the right way to go? It's a little different than the UK's at this point, what they're focusing on, which we should get into. And so that aspect of it, you know, people felt it was good. Something that was funny, a lot of AKAs were there. Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, her sorority sisters that live here in London were there. A lot of them somehow got invites to this kind of event with less than 200 people. But as people walked out, they said they thought that the United States was kind of looking at the right risks, and that sometimes when people talk about tech, they only talk about job loss, or they only talk about bias, which is important, both of those things. But with AI, some of the scarier stuff for both the vice president, the president, and these people are kind of right in front of us, or more short-term issues. So, you know, it was a quiet room, London. You know, people here don't really hoot and holler like in the United States. So it's kind of hard to tell how much of it was working for folks. But as they came out, they seemed really pleased with it.
Got it. Quiet, except for the pomp and circumstance music that she walked out to. They really went
It was a lot, right? Was it as loud for you guys as it was for us in person?
they really went for like the all-American big band introduction there in London.
It was really something.
Yeah. No, I thought it was notable that she focused a lot on these current and very near-term risks with AI at a time when, especially in the UK, there is much more focus seemingly on longer term, you know, bigger picture societal type risks. And so it definitely seems like she was sending a message there about what priorities they don't want to have overlooked.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Victor Manincourt, who's a senior tech reporter for our London bureau here, I've been working with him a lot on stories. We went to lunch. It was my lunch date. He took me to the office. And so we've been talking a lot about this. And to him, and I, it seems like the way that the United States wanted to make clear is like, yes, they're allies with the UK on this, but they want the United States approach to this to be the one that the global community actually adheres to. The way it's been put to me by White House officials and U.S. officials is Harris wanted this and Biden wanted this, the EO that came out and also the other announcements she made on Wednesday, to basically be the blueprint for everyone moving forward. One, to kind of counter China, who's a little bit further ahead in regulation tech in general than the United States. And also, she specifically, and this is something if you know Kamala Harris and have covered her as I have, is she's always talking about these things, kind of putting human, civil, labor, and consumer rights kind of front and center. And so trying to make sure that the United States tells folks, you can both protect the people and not stifle innovation. So the issues that are actually front and center are more important to this administration, and that the other stuff really does matter, right? The kind of sci-fi, frankly, scary shit that, like, Skynet's coming to get us, like that, that stuff is very important. But there's some stuff that currently the world needs to pay a lot of attention to. And I'll tell you something really interesting. The best part about these trips is seeing her team kind of milling about. And so I got some drinks and dinner last night with some aides of hers. And what they told me is that when Harris knew there was going to be an EO, what she told them is, we need to make this, we need to speed this along. Her and Biden, and especially her. EOs usually take a long time, and this one's heavy. There's a lot of stuff in it.
Yeah.
And so she really... 111 pages. Right. So she really pushed folks to say, I need something to say and bring to the table when I go to this summit. She never wants to go empty handed. So she came, you know, the EO was Monday. She got on a plane Tuesday, but also these other announcements that they had. So there's all of these things that are moving about that the administration is saying, we're giving everyone the easiest blueprint to follow. We're the United States, damn it. Come with us instead of anyone else who tells you they're the leader on this.
I mean, it sounds like she wanted to show up and show them up. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, they would probably never say that. But I think, like, the actions speak differently, right? Like, they could have done the EO last week, or they could have done it next week after she came and, you know, said that we had conversations with our allies and here's some stuff that we all agree on, right? One of the other things that her team was telling me yesterday is they kept using the word intentional. Like, everything's intentional. She likes to do things with intentionality. Intentional. The fact that it all happened kind of right before and during this summit is intentional. Like, nothing is an accident. And I asked, you know, one of the aides, you know, hey, you guys have these excerpts where Harris is basically saying these things are more important right now than the Skynet stuff. And this person said, you're picking up what we're putting down. So, you know what I mean? Like, they are being pretty explicit about how the United States, and more importantly for them, Vice President Harris is approaching all of this at this point.
We'll be right back. Well, and this is the first of these summits. I know the UK has said they're trying to do them every 6 months or so, hosted in different countries.
Yeah.
And I mean, anytime you're getting, you know, you're getting together for the first time, it's like we commit to this, we pledge that, but there's, you know, the follow through comes later. So it's sort of like to be determined on whether this all adds up to real tangible action, real alignment between these countries. Like, they have nothing to prove at this moment. That will come later.
Exactly. This is the fun part, right? This is like, yeah, buddy, let's hang out and talk shop and talk about the things that we're doing.
Right, kumbaya and everything.
It's the, exactly. We're all on the same page. We love AI, but we also hate AI. We got to figure out what to do. We want to protect the people. But the rubber hits the road when you've had 6 months and you have another one of these things and you don't have anything to show for it, right? And that, I think, is front of mind for the Biden administration. Is they know there's a global effort, but they want to make sure that every time they come to, if they come to one of these things, they haven't said whether or not they're going to be coming every 6 months. That's a lot to ask of leaders. I'm sure a delegation will probably come to all of them, maybe not Harris or Biden every single time, but they want to be able to say, no, we did do this work. The thing that is on my mind, so I'm on the ground here, and it feels like everyone's so focused, obviously, on AI. It feels like a big, it's like infrastructure week for, but for like the nerdiest of nerds, artificial intelligence for this White House.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel like, as kind of the expert on this, that this is just a bunch of talk? Do you think there's going to be an actual, is this going to be a sustained effort by the Biden administration? Like, what are people, what are the experts you're talking to saying?
So the interesting thing about AI regulation and tech regulation in general is you can talk about it in all of these global forums, but there is not going to be like one set of global rules. Every country has to come up with its own plan. And so the executive order that came out this week was like really the biggest step yet the U.S. has taken toward having any sort of plan. And they're behind China, as you said. They're behind the EU. And so it's tricky because, you know, you have these periodic meetups globally, right, where everyone sits around a table and talks about their shared priorities. But everyone has their own separate timeline happening, their own separate regulatory actions taking place.
Exactly.
It's kind of like you said, the vice president wanted to show up at this meeting with something tangible to show here's what the U.S. believes and wants to do on AI. But the U.S. has a lot more that it needs to do if it's actually going to make this plan come to fruition.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that Nicole Turner Lee, she's the director, as you know, of the Brookings Center for Technology Innovation. What she told me is, you know, she was excited about the EO. She was happy that it was coming out. But she did have a concern that this close to an election year, with all of the chaos happening on the Republican side in Congress, that it would be seen as a political move as opposed to something the administration really cared about. Therefore, you know, maybe politicizing the AI issue more than it is. Because my understanding, and you tell me if I'm wrong, is that it seems to be more of a bipartisan issue than most of the things that are out there. But there's worry from these experts that could change, even while the administration is saying, no, we care about this on a policy level.
Yeah, I mean, at a high level, there's bipartisan agreement that Washington needs to do something on AI. What that something is, there you can start to see a little bit of partisan division. But I think Nicole Turner Lee has a point that this action is coming ahead of an election year. As we know, anything can and will be politicized nowadays. And so there is the potential for AI to kind of get skewed in that way. I think, for instance, if you take Kamala Harris's focus, for instance, on some of the like civil rights and discrimination concerns around AI, those are issues that can get politicized quickly. There are some Republicans.
Easily.
Yeah. There are some Republicans who think that like those concerns are overblown or should not be the government's priority, or there are already laws to deal with that. So why do we need anything new? Those are the issues where you could start to see areas where Republicans might go on the attack and sort of criticize the Biden administration's approach to AI. And then the question in my mind, too, becomes to what extent does the administration stay above the fray on that? Because I think they do make legitimate points about the risks here of AI. Those are points that if you look at polling data, the American people do have concerns about. And so actually effectively addressing that, staying out of the political mudslinging, could be beneficial to this administration. It's just a lot of ifs at this point, though.
Staying out of the mudslinging in D.C. is damn near impossible in an election season, which we'll see if they're able to do so.
Right. We're not optimists here at Politico Tech, I guess.
I know. It's how nihilistic of us. We're this very sad podcast, people. You know, AI is good, but also very terrifying as far as I'm concerned. Skynet is coming. It's coming. I know it.
All right. Well, Eugene, thank you for joining us from London. We'll see you back stateside soon.
Cheers, mate.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. Be sure to subscribe to Politico's brand new transatlantic podcast, Power Play. You can find it on all major podcast platforms every Thursday morning. And for more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's show comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our senior producer is Annie Reese. Our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. I'll see you back here tomorrow.